The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session, pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case is 11-1536, Beaver Excavating Company et al. Versus Richard A. Levin, Tax Commissioner of Ohio. For the appellant, Mr. Ehler.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. The appellant taxpayers in this case have suffered injury because they pay the CAT, which, as applied to them, has an unconstitutional purpose or object. The CAT statutes caused that injury, and the requested relief of a declaratory judgment remedies that injury. To verify all these points, we need only look to two statutes passed by the General Assembly in the Ohio Commercial Activity Tax chapter. In 5751-31, the General Assembly designated specifically taxpayers as the persons who can challenge the CAT under Section 5A. It designates the tax commissioner as the government agent to defend that challenge. Section 5751-01 also provides a remedy. The remedy is, to the extent that the violation of the Constitution occurs, those gross receipts will not be taxed.
If you prevail, is there a refund?
If we prevail, depending upon the court's decision, there may be a refund opportunity. We have briefed a sunburst position for the court, but absent any reference to sunburst, the unconstitutional nature of the CAT would be applied back to the time, and therefore the 4-year statute of limitations would apply, and any taxpayer would be able to apply for a refund. And this case is not a refund application, though, and so no taxpayer has applied for a refund to our knowledge.
And would the ones that would get a refund then have to pay the old franchise tax in the interim, or are they tax-free for that period if they get a refund and the franchise tax is gone?
If they get the refund, there would be some periods of overlapping because the franchise tax was phased out while the CAT was phased in. But the two are separate. Any refund for the commercial activity tax would not affect the franchise tax.
So there would be a period where some entities would be tax-free entirely.
And that is why we believe the sunburst doctrine is equitable. No taxpayer, if this case is found to be, our case is found to be valid, there's an unconstitutionality. Applying that prospectively would allow nobody to get a refund, and that is consistent with the purpose of why we brought this case. We brought the case to make sure that the monies raised were devoted to roads.
That's
not
precisely
a refund.
The issue I want to ask you about. The levy of the CAT isn't unconstitutional, is it?
Absolutely, the levy of CAT is unconstitutional.
I thought it was the expenditure of the money.
Not at all.
Other than highway.
Section 5 of the Constitution and Section 5A, Article 12, Section 5 and 5A, are read together in concert. In Section 5, we have three requirements for a tax to be valid, the levy of the tax to be valid. You have to have a stated purpose, the purpose must be lawful, and the expenditure must be consistent with that purpose stated. 5A, which was passed 100 years later, provides the purpose. It specifies what the expenditure must be. Now, if you have to have a consistency between the expenditure and the object, they must be the same under Section 5, then to state the expenditure is to state the object. And if you do not have a proper object, you do not have a proper tax. It is invalid.
As to this, if all of the money collected went to highway purpose, what position would you argue?
We know that it did not go to a highway purpose.
I know. I'm asking you hypothetically, if the entire amount of this excise went to highway purposes and not for any other purposes, what would your position be?
If it was specified as the object and it was spent consistently, then it would be a constitutional tax.
My point then being the implementation of the tax is constitutional. It's just the expenditure of a portion of it for other than highway purposes.
Not at all. The Constitution specifically in Section 5 of Article 12 says you have to have a valid purpose. A valid purpose. A lawful purpose. And if the purpose specified violates the purpose set forth in 5A, you do not have a valid tax under 5.
Does the legislature have the right to amend the purpose?
Not retroactively, in our view. The taxes have already been collected. In 1913, this court was confronted with the one case where the valid object of the tax was challenged. In all the other cases that we've briefed and seen from the AG, what we had was an inconsistency between the object stated and the expenditure. The question in those cases was whether the expenditure was consistent with the object stated. That's a far different case than what we have today. We have a consistency, in fact. We have a stated purpose, which is general funding, and an expenditure. And that's general funding is in 575102. The expenditures in 575120. They are, in fact, consistent. We don't debate that it's being spent the way the General Assembly said the object was set forth the object to impose the tax. We have the consistency, and that's the difference in this case. And in 1914, this court looked at Walton v. Edmondson. And in that case, where the issue was whether the tax was valid, there the court exercised its authority under Section 5. Section 5A didn't exist at the time. But under Section 5, the purpose was determined invalid, and therefore it rescinded the tax. All the other cases that we have relate to expenditures being inconsistent with the purpose. What we have here is a purpose stated, a consistent spending, and both are unconstitutional, both of them.
Mr. Eller, the 10th District relied on Ohio Grocers versus Levin, the case that challenged the food tax or the tax on gross receipts from sale of food and upheld the taxes applied to the grocers. That's what the 10th District relied on. Why shouldn't the same result apply here? We're talking about a distinction between Article 12, sections in Article 12 that seem to prevent the tax, and then the distinction that we made in Grocers that said this is appropriate.
Well, the primary reason is the text of the Constitution. Article 12, Section 3, which encompassed the food amendments, which was at stake in the grocer's case, had a very different limiting clause on excise taxes. It said only those excise taxes that are imposed upon or levied upon a sale or transaction of food are prohibited. This court, its very first premise, which I think was absolutely correct, was to say, let's look at the text. And that text limited the type of excise tax that was being considered by the people when they passed the food amendment. Of course, sales tax was just enacted a year before the food amendment. So that was on the minds of the people. The people spoke through the language of that initiative petition and said, on the purchase or sale. That's a very specific type of excise tax. What we have here in Section 5A is broad language. It specifies any excises, plural, any license taxes, which is a subset of excise taxes, again, plural, and we don't have imposed upon or levied upon a transaction. What we have is the classic facts and circumstances language relating to. It is the paradigm of breadth, as this court has rendered decisions on that point relating to is a broad and inclusive concept. So unlike the more narrowly tailored food amendments, which by text we know were narrowly tailored, we have a broad inclusion. Now, with respect to the measuring stick, there's a little bit of confusion in my view about this measuring stick. Excise taxes can include taxes directly on a sale. We know that from grocers. Excise taxes also can include privilege or license taxes. When you have an excise tax that's a privilege or a license tax, like we had in the liquid fuel tax, which was rescinded in 1947, and like we have with the CAT, you're given a license to engage in business. And we have to value that license, and then we have a measuring stick to value the license. But make no mistake, in 1947, days after the people passed by initiative petition Section 5A, the General Assembly rescinded the liquid fuel tax. What was the liquid fuel tax? It was a tax on a privilege. If you wanted to sell liquid fuel, you had to get a license. Everyone did. Corporate form, non-corporate form, everyone. Now, the measuring stick included some element of commerce of motor fuel, which was is the relating to object. It was in the measuring stick by virtue of a cents per gallon. That was how the liquid fuel tax was measured. What we have with CAT, as applied to the same people who sell motor fuel, they have a license under CAT and under motor fuel tax laws. You have a license, it's measured. In CAT, it's measured by gross receipts. And as applied to motor fuel dealers, it's gross receipts with motor fuel in that measure. That doesn't make, the concept that you can't have an invalidation of a tax law because the thing that's in the, it's only taxed indirectly is not, I don't think is the rule of law in this state.
Could the General Assembly under 5A do what the appellees are going to be asking us to do, and that is reach the gross receipts of your clients if it were specifically targeted under 5A as a tax on what we're talking about and then was used specifically for highway purposes?
I think the phrase relating to needs to be applied in facts and circumstances. In my view, that phrase, when we look at what the people were thinking in 1947, think about what we had just gone through. We had gone through a time before sales tax where all we had were specific types of license taxes, taxes on the privilege of selling fuel, alcohol, tobacco. Those were the only taxes we had. We had property taxes, but these were the only excise taxes we had at the time. The people then said, we're going to try to curb the enthusiasm of the General Assembly to tax our fuel in a failed 1934 constitutional amendment, which targeted gasoline taxes. Very clearly in that language, they knew how to narrow the breadth of a constitutional amendment. It failed. Several years later, a sales tax came on the books. Now, there was a great debate during that time. There was by no means certainty that sales tax was going to be the primary tax to fund schools. Gross receipts tax was in that mix. They all viewed them similarly, tax on the consumer, tax on the vendor. Fast forward to 1947. We now have an electorate that needs to be cognizant of more taxes than they were in the 1934 attempt to curb the state's authority in imposing and spending fuel money. They had to be cognizant of a sales tax. And if you wrote the amendment in 1947 to say only cents per gallon fuel, it wouldn't have got the sales tax, which was a later initiated tax. And if they said, like they did in the food amendment, we're only going to limit the state's view or authority as it is for taxes imposed upon the sale or purchase, then you would get the sales tax, but not the liquid fuel tax. They understood perfectly well what they were doing. They were limiting all excise taxes, all of them, as they relate to motor fuel. And to say that this doesn't relate to motor fuel as applied to the same fuel dealers.
So you're saying that you're forever exempt from any type of commercial activity tax because of 5A?
We're not exempt from the tax. If they were to specify the correct object consistent with 5A and spend it, it is
so
valid.
So the answer to that question earlier then was yes, they could do it provided they did it in the appropriate way to follow 5A.
If they followed the intent of the people, absolutely.
Council, I want to pursue that, assuming for purpose of argument that we do find that it relates to motor fuel. Your perspective argument, if I understand your argument, it essentially is that it's be declared unconstitutional, but that would be a forward-looking application, but because the object in the statute itself doesn't match the requirement in the Constitution, the General Assembly would have to go back and do some surgery on the statute if it chooses to do so after some public debate, I'm sure, about that. in order for the tax to continue to be collected?
Absolutely. That's legislative prerogative, really. If it's a prospective application, then the General Assembly, just as it did in 1947 after the passage of the amendment, they went back and they conducted surgery. What did they do? They eliminated the liquid fuel tax. They increased the tax of something that was considered constitutional because its purpose and its expenditure. And that was a valid a prerogative of the General Assembly. Of course, that's what they're going to do here. They're not going to let the money go, and they're not going to let a whole segment of business go without tax. But that's our elected officials. That's their duty to do that. We have a remedy. It's specified by the General Assembly under 5751. No tax. All right. With that, the General Assembly needs to react. That's their responsibility. Doing nothing else, I think that we have an unconstitutional tax. It would bring about refunds, and that would bring into play the reason the court has decided to apply prospectively other tax cases in the past. Fiscal concerns and possible damage to the government because of the size of the potential refunds. That's a legitimate state concern, and that's why OAMCO and Copperweld were decided the way it was in the 80s. Prospective application, no one gets money, and by the way, that promotes the purpose of the reason why 5A exists. Giving us money back doesn't help the roads. Doesn't help the roads at all.
Just want to clarify your position that if this tax were levied, if this excise were levied, and if the monies derived were dedicated solely to highway purposes, you would have no argument.
Only as the tax applies to sales of motor vehicle fuel. Now, all the rest of the CAT is fine. This is an as-applied challenge. So as applied to the privilege of selling motor vehicle fuel, those funds need to be dedicated. It's either that or they could exempt them and increase the motor fuel tax. That's their prerogative. That's essentially what they did in 1947. But that's their prerogative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kearney.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. Beaver's claim has at least three fatal flaws, each of which prevents them from using Section 5A's spending restraint to avoid paying the tax under the CAT. First, Section 5A's scope is indeed limited to special taxes that target drivers, not general business taxes like the CAT. Second, Section 5A's nature is a spending restraint, not a tax limit, and nothing converts it into a tax limit. And third, the only available remedy here would be a spending restraint. And because of that, there's nothing to redress, and in fact, they don't have standing to begin with. First, when the voters went to the polls in 1947, not only did this language talk about related to operation or use of the motor vehicle on the highway, as well as relating to gas tax, so they're talking about use of the highways, but the ballot language right underneath it, the official arguments pro and con, which are in the supplement at page S110 and are also in our brief at page 32, where the font's a little easier to read, they were told the General Assembly has been abusing our special taxes. They use the term of art special taxes, and they've been spending our gas tax on the wrong things. And they ask you to believe that voters, when they walked into the booth, somehow ignored the language right in front of them, but voters were thinking, how does this compare to that language we didn't pass 13 years ago? This Court's already said we don't look at what didn't pass in the legislature. Certainly, when the voters finally pass something, we look at what they did pass, not what they didn't. And they talked about special taxes. And the history right after that was that no one challenged the corporation franchise tax. Now, they say the corporation franchise tax is nothing like the CAT. But this Court in Grocers, even if the application of food is a little different in details, this Court, though, said as a general rule, the CFT is the predecessor to the CAT. This Court did look at the fact that no one challenged not only over the 20th century, but especially after 1971 when the net income method came in, every time you sold more gas, your CFT liability went up. You sold another dollar, that goes into the, yes, there's a three-part formula, but each buck drove some pennies up, and no one challenged it. And you're telling me all the big oil companies, you know, BP and Marathon, missed $1 billion savings all those decades?
You're assuming you sold the gas at a profit.
Well, I think in the 70s, you know, we even had windfall profits taxes because there were windfall profits. I know things go up and down, but somewhere over the century, I think gas companies have made some profits.
The franchise tax, the alternative, measures profit, not gross receipts.
Well, it is true. There was net income along with net worth, but your worth was also driven by this. But keep in mind also the sales tax. This phrase related to, it's only used once, but then it has two prongs, operation or use of vehicles. So you have all these businesses out there who are renting cars. Of our $7 billion in sales tax sales, a full billion comes from auto sales and another $300 million from car parts. So all those things would relate to operation or use if you got to this fact-specific facts and circumstances. So not only does that mean we've been missing something 60 years, but even forward-looking. Even if the legislature fixed this one thing, the legislature could no way cover every single factual scenario, which is why when the legislature writes an excise that refers to, which is one of the meanings of relate to in the dictionary, when the legislature refers to gas or refers to driving, they know we better put that aside.
Did the legislature in the CAT tax, I haven't gone back and looked at it, so refresh our recollection. Did they, it was going to be broad in its reach.
Exactly, cover everyone.
And
doesn't matter what you say.
Low in its rate.
Right.
So did they tax the, did they include the gross receipts from banks?
I believe they did. I don't want to misspeak. I know there are certain industries like insurance companies that have a separate tax, and I'm not sure if financial institutions might be separate.
So they left insurance and banks.
But I'm not sure about banks. Don't get me wrong.
Public utilities.
But I know insurance and utilities pay separate taxes, and the utility ones has been gross receipts forever.
They left insurance, banks, public utilities.
As I said, I'm not sure about the banks. I don't want to be misspeak.
Okay. I think they left them out.
Okay, but insurance and utilities definitely.
But
so they left all of them out. They knew the constitutional provision regarding motor vehicle fuel, and they decided to include them.
Right. But, Your Honor, they did that because this is not a tax that refers to the tax as written or the excise as written doesn't relate to motor fuel. What they say is our facts and circumstances
but
do.
But those other industries don't. Some of them don't even have constitutional provisions.
Right, but they have their own tax. They have their
tax, but they don't have the benefit of a constitutional provision, do they?
Right, but that doesn't really matter here because, I mean, that's a legislative choice how to tax those other industries. But here, I want to stress, not only is the scope of this targeted at drivers, and that's what was in the ballot argument language, but also the nature of this is a spending restraint, and none of the things they say covers the gap from spending to taxes. First, they cite the CAT's own exclusion. But that exclusion doesn't address spending problems. It says this tax is not intended to impose on any gross receipts if the imposition of the tax would violate the Ohio or U.S. Constitution. So all that's saying is if the imposition of the tax would violate the Constitution, it violates the statute as well. It doesn't say if the spending of the revenue from the. So you have to have an imposition of the tax problem. So 5751's own statutory inclusion doesn't do it. Neither does Section 5, because Section 5 of the Constitution nowhere says you have to have a proper purpose and connect the taxes to the spending. Section 5 just says you have to state you have to state a purpose. It doesn't say proper purpose. It just says state of purpose. And this court, even in Walton, said once you do that, and in State X. Charles Donahue versus Edmondson, you're done.
Conflict between that Section 5 and 5A.
Not at all, Your Honor.
Relating to the excise relating to fuels for propelling vehicles shall be expended for statutory highway purposes, and this tax is expended for general revenue, school district property tax funds, and the local government.
Well, 2 points,
that's
Your Honor.
That's the argument.
Right, but it's wrong. Because first, it's
why is that wrong?
It's a shall be expended limit. And the part of Section 5 at the very end of Section 5 that says, and you have to spend it, it shall only be applied to its stated purpose. It just says apply it to its stated purpose. It doesn't say, and if that's proper by other parts of the Constitution. So if they don't win on 5A, they don't win on 5 either. They need to win or lose on 5A. not to mention that they haven't pleaded this as a 5 claim. You can use Section 5 as a helper to 5A, but you can't flip-flop it and say this is at its core a Section 5 claim that's only assisted by
5A. Are you suggesting that the expenditure of money for local government funds or school district property tax funds is a highway purpose?
No, but I'm saying we don't have an excise related to gasoline to begin with. We have an excise
You're admitting that those are not highway purposes.
Correct. Although, of course,
these funds are being expended for non-highway purposes. Your argument is that this is not an excise relating to the fuel or
correct.
Gas?
It's not an excise relating to the fuel.
Is it? Excuse me. What is it in your view?
On the
just a minute, Mr. Carney.
Business.
One at a time.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What is it, in your view, if it is not an excise relating to the fuel for propelling a vehicle?
The cat is on the privilege of doing business, as the court said in Grocers. It's measured by all your gross receipts, regardless of whether they're food, widgets, motor fuel, toilet paper. It doesn't matter what you sell. The tax as written doesn't relate to. And keep in mind, if the assembly had to deal with the facts and circumstances test, they couldn't possibly foresee every possible fact and circumstance where a taxpayer could say, well, my employment is driving a truck of gas around, so therefore my employment tax relates to gas. Or I sell cars, so that relates to operating or using. Their test could literally break down the entire CAT and the entire sales tax system, whereas our way is very straightforward. If you talk about gas or operating cars, you're triggered. And that does do some real work, because $2.5 billion every year, and for 65 years this has been a firewall against the abuses of the 30s and 40s. So it does do some real work. Whereas if you go
this way... The statement that's going to break down the whole tax system... we've seen throughout the briefs where apparently it's fairly easily calculable what part relates to the fuel tax and what parts don't. And if we're focusing on whether or not it relates, and if the court should decide that it does relate, how is that going to bring down the whole tax system?
Because, Your Honor, their particular claim, sure, could the legislature get its arms around their particular $140 million a year? But if you say related to is anything played out in facts and circumstances, we can't get a handle on what are all the other relationships out there that are going to bubble up. And that's why their reading is unlimited, and that's where whatever next shoes to drop. Maybe their whole business of, well, we repair roads, we're highway contractors. There's no limiting principle. Whereas relating to, saying referring to, which is a dictionary definition, works simply, matches what we've done for 70 years, and matches that the legislature is on notice. When you pass a tax that cuts on gas, then you better set it aside.
So, counsel, you're, if I understand what you're stating this succinctly, would be that it's a tax on the privilege of doing business related to your gross receipts, which is just a dollar, and it doesn't matter how those dollars were derived.
Exactly. Doesn't matter how. I also want to briefly mention they say that point 31 gives them the right to file this case. It doesn't. Point 31 just says that when you're coming straight from the tax commissioner to this court, that then you can. That's saying you can challenge taxes only in that circumstance. It doesn't say general DJ. And in fact, those kind of fast track provisions, this court said the legislature can't do and let Ohio vote.
Mr. Carney, looking at 5A, though, you're talking about relating to highway purposes, and I understand that. But if you look at the section, 5A, it talks about no money derived from fees, excises, or license taxes relating to the registration, highway, et cetera, or to fuels used for propelling such vehicles. Right. That seems to be the key to me. We're talking about a section in the Constitution that specifically talks about taxes relating to motor fuel.
Right, but it's taxes relating to, not money derived from the imposition of taxes in your facts and circumstance. The tax, as written, doesn't relate to gas. The tax doesn't refer to gas. The tax at issue here refers to your business. And so, for example, if you're making less than $1 million in gross receipts, this doesn't change anything. If you have offsetting credits from research and other things, this doesn't change anything. There's no direct relationship. And and it's not targeted. I think
so. You're saying, in your view, relating to motor fuel means specifically saying motor
right,
fuel.
Targeting, and we know that.
And they're saying affecting motor. Relating to means
right.
affecting motor
and
fuel.
And the affecting is unlimited. I want to briefly mention the standing argument here. The standing argument is that if you look forward at the remedy, and this court just said this in Clifton, that if they get their remedy, that you know we'd say fine, then you have standing if the remedy is legally available. But if the remedy, if you look down the road and you say, we want to give a tax remedy no matter what, because after all, aside from what this court said in State X. Rel. Donahue, you have the general principle that injunctions are never broader than you need to cure the problem. And if a narrow injunction can solve the problem, that's what you do. And if the only thing they're demanding is off the table, that means they don't really have an injury because the spending doesn't hurt them, the tax hurts them, but the tax isn't what's illegal here, even if they were otherwise right on the merits. And on top of that, I want to briefly mention their sole answer to standing is to say we waived it and cite State X. Rel. Tubbs-Jones. That's wrong for several reasons. That was only a plurality, not a holding of this court. That was about prohibition, saying a lack of standing is not the kind of thing where we bypass an appeal and shut down right away. And actually, the seeds in that footnote that they cites this case's earlier cases of New Boston and Buckeye Foods, where the court did say it was jurisdictional. And the court's always treated it as jurisdictional, and that plurality doesn't change that.
Mr. Carney, looking at the word relating to, we already dealt with the cat tax in the grocer's case. Did we specifically home in on the term relating to, and if so, what did we say in that case?
You didn't say the term related to because that wasn't before you, but what you did say that guides today is you said the CAT is not a transactional excise, it's a franchise on the privilege of doing business, and here we're talking about excises, and the court said even though the CAT can be an excise in other circumstances, that in the use of Article 12, it was distinguishing franchises from excises, and this court also said you can look to the 70 years experience, or at least the 40 years since 1971, as a precursor. And they can't get around that general principle that under their reading, everything we've done for the century has been illegal. Everything we do going forward, if you have some remote relationship that's unforeseeable, is also illegal. And that is why things would break down pretty quickly.
Counsel, let me ask.
I was going to say, although 5A still talks about excises, and to me it seems that the relating to is the issue here because there are two ways of looking at that specific word. Which
if there are two ways, we win. This court said when you have plausible readings and implausible readings that they have to prove constitutionality beyond a reasonable doubt. They have to show that they unambiguously win no matter what, because if we have a plausible reading or if it's ambiguous and you look at the history and the intent, you have all this language in the ballot and all these newspaper articles that they even attach and put in their supplement that talk about gas tax and license fees, gas tax and license fees. They say voters must have had on their mind the sales tax and these other things from 13 years earlier. But they don't have any affirmative evidence for that, just speculation. But what we do have is ballot language that told people we must protect the money from these special taxes. That's what voters believed. That's what we did for 70 years. And that's what we should continue to
Counsel,
do.
Counsel, is the CAT tax an excise tax?
Not in the meaning of this provision. It is in other purposes.
I'm looking at my dissent on the grocer's tax, and I quote from the commissioner's brief, the tax commissioner's brief in that case, where the AG said, the excise tax is an umbrella term that encompasses both sales and franchise tax.
Sure. And then you went on to say why it wasn't the type of excise tax at issue there. At least maybe you didn't, but the other six did. So the court's holding is that franchise taxes are, and every excise is upon something. I mean, this court in Salina described the sales and use taxes, privilege taxes. It's described occupational taxes as privilege taxes. It's not whether it's privilege or not. It's whether it's on the privilege of doing business broadly or whether it's an excise on the kind of thing targeted here. And just like the other amendment targeted food, this
so
one targets
there
motor
are excise
fuel.
Taxes and there are excise taxes. Is that what we're
doing? Well, right, but you'd look at the rest of the sentence. This says excises related to motor fuels. And remember, we have to use that same definition for excises related to operation or use. As far as I can tell, their only answer to the parade of horribles is worry about that tomorrow. But this court does have to worry about having a workable rule that our tax system and that this court and that the legislature can live with. And if you have no limit to related, who knows what comes next? If you say when the legislature refers to it, they're on notice, then that way the legislature can obey it. When you have a moving target, the legislature couldn't possibly legislate it under their unlimited rule.
Before you sit down, I'd like to ask you a question perhaps in reverse of your argument. Let's assume for purposes of argument that this court decides that these excise taxes are relating to motor vehicle fuel. The other argument that the opposing counsel made, that there is a violation of Section 5 regardless, or not regardless, but in that case, because the object of the tax in the CAT statute is basically for general revenue purposes, which, of course, would not be then for highway purposes. Assuming, and I know that's not your argument, but assuming that the excise tax does relate to motor vehicle fuel, what is your response to the argument then that the tax itself can no longer be collected until the General Assembly revisits that issue?
Not at all, Your Honor. I'm over time, I know, so I'll try to make it as quick as I can. But if you look at the literal language of Section 5, Section 5 says every law imposing a tax shall state distinctly the object of the same. So it says state an object. It doesn't say state a proper object, state a, where the spending and things align.
Well, Section to which 5 only it shall violated. Be applied.
And then it says, right, to which only, so the next clause is a spending limit. It says once you state an object, boy, you better stick to it. And the only time this court has found Section 5 violations is when somebody said it's for one purpose and then they tried to switch it up. So that's a spending restraint. That's not a tax restraint. And even when the courts had that, its only remedy has been to strike the spending and to say the taxing is still okay. This court has never struck a tax collection.
I want to come
what
back.
They struck in Edmondson and in Walter were taking money away from counties to the state, but they left the county still collecting the tax for the blind.
How difficult would it be to exclude the gross receipts from the sale of motor vehicles from this excise?
This, because the legislature did it as a temporary grace, that would be doable.
I'm sorry?
It would be doable, we acknowledge, but it would not be doable.
It has been done by the General Assembly in this tax, has
right.
it not?
So it
for
can
2 years.
Be done as a matter of legislative grace.
It's not. Again?
It can be done as a matter of legislative grace, but it's not mandated by the Constitution, and it would not be possible if you say related to is anything relating under some factual scenario. It would not be possible to foresee every possible scenario and manage to cover all your bases. I don't know how the legislature could do that other than writing a catch-all provision, which would shift the whole mess into the court system and up to this court for every single individual to say, well, my business kind of relates to cars.
If this court would indicate that the collection of the CAT on the sale of gross receipts from motor vehicle fuel is unconstitutional, could the rest of the tax still be collected?
Sure, the rest of it could be, but even if you said that somehow the spending were unconstitutional, there's no warrant for an injunction broader than fixing the problem. I don't see what basis they have for doing that because, again, the statutory exclusion here only covers unconstitutional impositions. Nothing about this, even if you bought their argument otherwise on the merits, says that there's a tax limit in Section 5. There's a spending limit. Nothing bridges the gap from a spending challenge to a tax challenge.
Mr. Carney, in answer to Justice Cupp's question, you said something that I think maybe you said earlier as well. It puzzles me. Perhaps I didn't understand it. You said under Section 5, it says you have to state a purpose.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a proper purpose.
Doesn't say it in the text, and this court has never said there has to be a proper purpose. It's Section 5A.
That seems to be, I mean, I can't understand why.
I understand why it seems attractive.
Why the Attorney General would come in here and say,
because, Your Honor,
the Constitution says you have to state a purpose, And you say, well, they can say anything they want to. It doesn't have to be a proper purpose.
Well, Your Honor, that's not saying we can just have any kind of improper purpose. If you have an improper purpose, you might violate some other provision. Then you need to get your claim. Either you need to make or break your case under Section 5A. But Section 5 on its own is just about putting people on notice what the purpose is. There's nothing about limits and propriety.
You really want to advocate the legislature can be that cavalier?
No, because that's what all the other provisions are for. What I'm saying is that clause doesn't do what they say. Just because something doesn't violate the First Amendment doesn't mean it doesn't violate the Fourth Amendment. I'm not saying you can do anything. I'm saying that clause does not put a limit on. Moreover, even if you read in proper purpose, spending on schools and local government is a proper purpose. It's just not a purpose they say is aligned with 5A. But if 5A doesn't work for them, Section 5 doesn't. For all these reasons, the court should reject their claim on standing, remedy, and merits. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Allo, you've used your time. You may have a minute.
Your Honor, thank you. Section 5 does say pursuant to law. Mr. Carney wants to use the bucket of whiteout again. He wants to erase history. He wants to erase the words used. The words used in 5 is you have to state a purpose pursuant to law. What he's advocating is the General Assembly could pass a tax that is unconstitutional and continue to collect it, even though this state or this court says it's an invalid purpose. We can collect it for as long as we want. We just can't spend it. And no one has standing to get to that. It's a ridiculous position when you think about it. 5 doesn't say what Mr. Carney says it says. It says pursuant to law, and he can't read it out. And 5A is irrelevant if you don't read 5A to say it states a purpose. It is the purpose for these kind of funds, and there's no way around that.
And so the relief you're requesting is not to pay in the future, not to pay this in the future because of its application under 5A.
We're asking the court to declare the CAT unconstitutional as applied to the privilege of motor fuel sellers, and then the law takes care of it. We won't pay the tax in the future because the remedy that's already there. With respect to the sky is falling argument and the sales tax on cars, specious. It's specious because there the people elected to use more specific terms, the use and registration of the vehicles. Let me tell you, sales tax applies whether you use it or register it. Sales tax is on the sale and the purchase. So this idea that our argument will somehow undermine the state's fisc is wrong, because in that instance, you have to show that the relationship is to the use or to the registration. And sales tax, guess what? It's on the privilege of purchasing and selling. And that's not what the people chose to use. They did it on purpose. And the idea that the ballot arguments is somehow limiting, what they would have you believe is that the limitation is implied, because it's certainly not expressed in the language. Now, if you go out into your yard and you step on a thorn because you're walking in bare feet, and you go back into the house and you take the tweezers and you take that thorn out and it's painful, and you decide to put on a pair of shoes, why is it that you put on this pair of shoes? Probably because you don't want to step on a thorn. But what if you stepped on a nail? What if you stepped on glass? The prophylactic measure of the shoe is not for thorns, even though that was the pain that you were experiencing at the time you put them on. The people of the state knew that the only offensive tax that existed at the time was the liquid fuel tax. And of course, that's how it was explained to the people. But the language belies the limitation. The language is very broad. Excises, plural. License taxes, license privileges, plural, relating to. How in the world do you limit that to the specific tax of liquid fuel? It doesn't make any sense. Moreover, the result of that would be that the day after the people passed 5A. Think about this. In 1947, the poll star of what the people intended. 1947, they passed the amendment. The next day, what does the General Assembly do? They eliminate liquid fuel tax. They also eliminate the sales tax exemption for motor fuel, and they pass a gross receipts tax on motor fuel. And they don't set forth an object consistent with 5A for the sales tax or the gross receipts tax. According to Mr. Carney's argument, perfectly fine. You think the people would have revolted?
In the case coming right after yours, they do exactly what the state claims is the parade of horribles, and they claim relating to has a much broader reach.
I think this, the clauses are different. The only clause, the only commodity in 5A is motor fuel. The rest of it is privileges associated with cars, and those privileges are enumerated.
So you would
there is
not
no
say,
limitation on the privilege, Your Honor.
Not say relating to then relates to getting an abstract.
Not abstract, except that there is no privilege specified with respect to motor fuel. The people knew how to specify a privilege. Registration is a privilege. Use is a privilege. Those are specified for motor vehicles, but not for motor fuel. And so there are different standards to apply the relating to test. The people have told us that. With respect to motor fuel, they elected not to put any restriction on that. So how can we narrow it to the liquid fuel tax and thereby allow the General Assembly to impose a sales tax and a gross receipts tax? I think they're confused in terms of the phrase relating to, because if you think about it, if we had a liquid fuel tax, which we know violated the amendment, and the General Assembly said, well, let's do more than that. Let's tax other liquids in a vehicle, antifreeze, lubricating oil, windshield wiper fluid. By including those other liquids, does the tax somehow relate differently to fuel? The relationship is the same to fuel. It doesn't change because other things are taxed. The relationship is the same. The liquid fuel tax was a tax on a privilege. The privilege is the same with the CAT, selling fuel. It imposes that
tax.
It's
glad to be selling fuel, but it's really a privilege of doing business, isn't it?
That's right. It's a privilege of doing business. And as applied, it's a privilege. When you're selling fuel, it's the same privilege. You can't get around it. It's the same privilege.
Are there
and it goes to the fuel as well.
Other than fuel being sold at these...
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Are there other commodities other than fuel being sold at any of these outlets?
Sure. And they would pay the tax on those.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision.